The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
What up, Primers? JC here. This week, we got to speak with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. And in lieu of him heading down to Camp Poutine, we thought that we would play the man that invited him. So without further ado, here's our last interview with Canada Men's National Team head coach, Jesse Marsh.
It's very Footy Prime. We're just off camera talking about Vern Troyer and grilled cheese sandwiches. I won't explain the connection there, if there was.
Walger likes to eat.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then complains.
Complains, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. He's heavier.
That's how we do things here, Jesse.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Jesse Marsh joins us on Footy Prime as promised. Jimmy Brennan's here, JC, Amy Walsh, Le Wonger, Dan Wong, and myself, Shams, here. Jesse, thanks again for joining us.
Is this my second time? Third?
No,
fourth?
Third. Third or fourth?
Okay, right? Third.
Might be third.
Okay. First, fourth.
Okay, cool.
So you're used to
thanks
what,
for having me back.
You know what to expect.
Yeah.
We were just actually talking to Jimmy about he was stranded in the States with this whole Air Canada strike. Any football stories where you were stranded, not including Leeds, airports?
Not really.
Great question, Sharms. Great question.
Yeah, good start. Nailed it.
All right.
Nailed
it. That's JC Marsh, everyone.
Nailed it.
Well, I mean, listen, you make the rounds, though, right? I mean, you're in France, I think, this past weekend, checking in on Moyes, Derek as well, and Ishmael.
I saw Kyle in Spain.
Right, okay. So, silly question, but how are the guys doing? Season's just started, right? Everyone's hopeful and, you know, full of beans, I imagine, despite the players perhaps looking for moves.
Well, that's been a big part of the last month, I think, has been, you know, checking in with guys, seeing how things are going, helping them if possible with some of their transfers. Obviously, I know through my time in Europe, a lot of different people at a lot of different clubs. So if I can make a phone call or help an agent in a certain way to try to see if we can make connections with some of these guys, then we've tried to do that. And obviously, it's not just that I want the players in the best situations possible. That's clearly the case, especially given we may have somewhere between 10 and 15 players moving this summer. So that's a lot of unknowns for a season before the World Cup. So obviously trying to find some stability for guys, but I just like them too. I like these guys, you know, they're good people. They work hard. They've all accelerated their careers, I think, through the gateway of the national team, and anything I can do to help them in their lives and support them in their lives, and then hopefully help them get landed in a place that can help them be successful in their careers.
Is there certain players that you're really focusing on where you want to get them to maybe better clubs or better leagues?
Well, I mean, you know, you could look at just the different scenarios for different players and understand that, you know, some of them are looking for some changes and what might be the best next step for them in their career. You know, but like going to see Ishmael, was just talking to him. He's not too far from me here in Italy. He's a couple hours away. So just that, I think that's nice because then I can also kind of be around him and support him, maybe have him down here for dinner, maybe go up there for dinner and just keep him being positive and moving in the right direction. He and I have a great relationship, so we're able to talk very openly with each other, and it's been really nice to get to know him more. You know, Kyle and I had a really good discussion about continuing to push him. Continuing for him to find the right place. You know, I mean, I do want to say one of the things about Kyle is I find it very disappointing and frustrating the way a lot of Canadian fans treat Kyle. You know, they're very hard on him. They if he doesn't come away with every chance and every goal, he gets criticized by too many people. And look, I think he needs to get himself back into top form and back playing at his best, like he was at Copa America 2 summers ago, and like he's been at different moments in his career. But Kyle came into Canada soccer when it was nothing. Like literally, he was like the only player that could play at a certain level or had been, you know, I mean, of course, guys like you, Jimmy and Atiba, but there were guys, you know, at the time he was the future and he helped establish a lot of things and bring it to where it is now. And his second leading goal scorer of all time. And him and Johnny are always like this. And so, you know, that frustrates me a little bit. And I really like Kyle and I know he's valuable to the team and I know we got to get him playing at his best for next summer, but I really wish people would appreciate more what he's brought to the program.
Yeah. Do you think that's also a good sign as well, Jesse, because the game is growing. There is more expectation on players where before there was never, nobody would ever say anything about any of the players because nobody cared. And it's like now people are really focusing on the players and saying, well, no, you guys are great players. You're playing in top leagues. And now, you know, you're expected to perform and expected to win.
Well, look, social media is a beast of its own, right? And so even when I go on Instagram and stuff and I put things out there, I'm always like, yeah, I don't know if I should do this because I'm just inviting.
Something's coming back.
But, I like the Canadian fans in general. I think they're overwhelmingly supportive. Look, we had a very disappointing Gold Cup. Like, I'll be the first to admit it. And you know, some media and some fans were very critical of me, and they should be. Like, we shouldn't lose in the quarterfinal to Guatemala. Like, that was incredibly disappointing. But I do also think that I know we're on the right path, right? And the team has created higher expectations. You know, I mean, if you look at now, if we go one calendar year, we lost one match in one calendar year, right? And obviously Guatemala is a shootout. You could say Ivory Coast shootout, whatever. But yeah, I mean, we've certainly had a pretty good year. And I think the foundation for where we're going and who we're going to become for the future and our readiness for what we need next summer. Like, if you would have said to me, okay, where would you be a year from now when I first took the job? I feel in so many ways we're still very much ahead of schedule. And I'm very excited for the upcoming challenges and certainly very excited for the potential of what this team can be for the World Cup.
Jesse, do you think that with those higher expectations from fans, is the excitement, is the buzz around this team, which you've spoken to, but I think it's also wanting to take that next step and eagerly awaiting the team to do that. And you mentioned the disappointing Gold Cup. So that shiny new thing, the dual national, whether it's Dan Jebison or Promise David as the next flash or the player who's going to be next to Jonathan David to be that difference maker. I think that's where Kyle gets caught up in that conversation. There's lots of negativity thrown his way. So for you as the coach, what does he bring to you? Like, why is he in your lineup versus some of those other guys? Maybe not to justify it or rationalize it to fans, but everything that he brings to your squad and to that 11 when he's inserted into that lineup.
Look, in general, I told this to Kyle, I don't think I handled the striker position great over the summer. And it was challenging because we brought in five of them and we needed to kind of make sure that all of them had the chance to develop in the team. I mean, Jebison, if you would have seen Jebison sort of in his progression over the camp and the way he trained, I think we go one more game. And if it would have been the US, I think Jebison probably starts that game because he was in training the best player at the moment that we were in the Gold Cup. You know, but how to get Promise, how to get Jebo, how to still keep Kyle going. And then Tanny's performing well. And then we all know Johnny is important, right? So it was a tricky one. And again, I don't think I handled that well. And I didn't give all of them the best opportunity, but there also just wasn't enough playing time really for all of them. Look, Kyle, even when I made a phone call to a potential loan club for him with the coach, one of the coaches that's there that I know a little bit, what the coach said to me was, Kyle is the player that of all of them that we're looking at that can help us when we're up a goal, help us when we're down the goal, help us when we need to defend, help us when we need to play in transition, because he has all the tools for everything that you need. He can hold the ball up. He's good in transition. He's a smart player. He's good in the box. He's good with his feet. So Kyle, when you ask me, like, why is Kyle in the lineup? Kyle is our most well-rounded striker. There's no doubt. And with his experience and everything else, for me, it's about getting Kyle to really now play at his limit. right? And not just play inside of a comfort zone and maybe worry about, do I make a mistake or not here, but to play with power and speed and decisiveness and around the box to take chances. And then also to be a leader and a captain type who can push the team and who knows what real games are about. He does, like I agreed with this coach, like he does present all of those things and we just need to get him playing at that level all the time. And if he can do that, then he can be a real bonus for us.
Is he a confidence player? Most strikers are, or is it beyond that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, he was the first to say that coming off of the second half of the season with Mallorca, that it was a difficult time. He wasn't playing all the time. They were defending deep a lot, and he was up alone up top a lot, and that's not necessarily his strength. But I mean, I think he didn't feel he was fit enough. He didn't feel like his confidence was great. He was honest with me. He's like, you know, I didn't feel like I had your backing in certain moments. And I said, well, look, this is how to develop that. This is what this means. Like, even though you're an established guy and you're 30 and you've got so much experience under you, every day you still have to prove yourself. So in training, when Jebo's going like this and Kyle's kind of flatlining, then sometimes the decision was, well, like, let's go with Jebo. Let's give him a shot. Let's see how things are going. So this is all normal. Kyle, no doubt understands this. And that's my, over the next year, I'm really going to try to continue to push him to get him to be at his best. And certainly him getting landed in a club that can also have that understanding of what that means will be important as well.
You mentioned that Ismail, I'm sure you saw the video from the Marseille documentary, which I think was pretty unfair on the player. There's so much more to that story than you see in a 1 minute clip. Is he a player though, a young player that needs perhaps some mentorship? And is the fact that you are so close going to be very beneficial for him?
Yeah, so I had seen some of the video from training already before that documentary came out, right? And look, I don't want to comment too much on, you know, I think we can all have our feelings about how it was handled. Every coach has their own way of trying to motivate and communicate with players. So we don't know enough about all the story, what's going on. But certainly when you see that and you're a fan of Ismail and you love Ismail, you certainly don't want to see him treated like that, right? But, you know, since then he went to Rennes and then he came back and now he's at Sassuolo, right? And I think that now where he's at is a good situation, although it's going to be a fight. Like, you know, they're not going to have an easy year in Serie A. And it's a very disciplined league where they think about defensive tactics. And in that sense, I think it'll be good for him to have real discipline, to have to play every game with full concentration, to understand tactical responsibilities, and specifically defensive tactical responsibilities. And then, of course, his natural ability to make plays on the ball and be fluid within the game. This will always be something that he can rely on, but he needs to couple it with the real discipline for what the best games look like. If he can find that, which, by the way, we were really happy with him in March in those matches when he came in against Mexico and when he started against the U.S. And if we can get that balance right with him where he fully understands what his role is, how to be disciplined, how to have concentration, but then the freedom to understand how to really impact the game with the ball and make some plays that can lead to goals, then all of a sudden you feel like you've got a difference maker in the team, and that will be the goal over the next year.
Three of those central midfield options have all changed clubs. We saw Mathieu Chouinard move to MLS, LAFC, got a nice goal this past weekend, fed by Sun there. Obviously, Nathan Saliba, who may have been the one player that caught the most attention this past summer, makes a big move to Anderlecht. We assume, and I'm not going to put you in the spot, we assume that Stefan's going to be starting the big games if he's healthy. The partner in that midfield, I mean, is that the position that you're losing most sleep over right now? Who is the right choice?
I think the beauty is now we have a lot of choices, man. You know, so one of the main goals of the Gold Cup was to expand the squad, like the players that we felt like we could really count on. And we did that. Absolutely. That was, you know, objective achieved. And certainly you would put Saliba, you would put Segur as two of the main guys who really, really emerged in that way. And so, you know, Segur may be making a move as well. Who knows? may be making a move as well. So there's a lot out there, right? But I think now the understanding of how to play within the system and how to play within the idea of what we want the team to be and how to fit into the mentality of what we're creating, man, we have a lot of options in there. And yeah, of course, it'll come a lot down to form and fitness. And then the hope is that we have 26 players in form and fitness. And then I can now, without being too clever, now start to figure out what combinations of players make sense for what kind of games and see if I can keep everybody at the absolute edge of how good they can be and achieving their potential every day so that we're ready to perform at our highest. And I know that guys are focused on that. They believe that. They believe that we need a full squad. They believe it's going to take more than 11 guys and it's more than just a captain or a leadership council. And they're motivated to do everything they can to make sure we're ready for that.
As it pertains to Nico Seguir, where do you prefer him? At right back or center midfield?
I prefer him at center midfield, but I think he's really effective at the right back position as well. With Alistair being so good at that position and then some of the ways at different moments, like we sometimes played Richie with a little bit more of a conservative left back, and then we'd push Nico up into the midfield or up further up the pitch. And when we would do things like that, I think then we could get the balance right of how to use all our pieces. Now, Alistair, at times when we've had Alfonso in the game, we've pushed Alfonso further up the pitch and then asked Alistair to be a little bit more of the defensive foundation in buildup and in defending. So, you know, now we start to have a little bit more flexibility how all the relationships can fit on the field and still get the best out of all the players.
Have you been impressed with Schwenier, the way he's continued to grow at the international level? I mean, for me, in my opinion, I really like him in the middle of the park. I thought him and Saliba together at times looked very, very good. And then I also love what he brings in terms of delivery. For me, I think he's got the best delivery on the team.
Yeah.
So how important is it that he continues to play and progresses?
Yeah, I mean, I like Matthew. He's the way he plays fits with the way that I want our team to play, and he also has flexibility to the things he can do. And you're right about the set piece delivery. He's 100% our best deliverer on set pieces. So, he also has the other special quality that Mathieu has is some of the guys, if they're not playing and they come into the camp, their fitness really dips. And Mathieu, it doesn't matter if he'd been playing 6 weeks in a row or hadn't played in the last 6 weeks, he can run. So he's always 90 minutes fit. He's always ready for what the standard of the game needs to look like physically. And, you know, then it's just really now continuing to, like, his savviness, his understanding of moments in games, like when to play the kind of passes forward that might find moments for us to be on the attack or in transition, and when to maybe have a pause on the ball and find the next action so that we can maybe keep the possession. So, and you know, all his little nuances of understanding the rhythm of the game in the middle of the pitch is something he's continuing to develop. But I agree with you. I think Matthew's a big player for us and very, very important for us moving forward in the next year.
I also think, sorry, Sharms, that you called him Stefan when you were mentioning Schwenier. So I just looked up Stefan Schwenier.
It's because Sharm's really focused on saying Nathan, and so he said Stefan.
Yeah.
Oh, was that it?
I think. Yeah.
I'm really working on my pronunciations because Dubs holds me accountable.
Okay.
Pronounce anything. Okay. So that's on me, Jesse. Don't worry.
Look, it's not. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. I know. I still challenge myself to say Ismail, not Ishmael.
Yeah. Right. So is it is so ish?
Nathan, I've finally gotten because it was Nathan and Nathan and for a while he was like, just call me Nathan, just call me. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna get it.
By the way, you
but if you continue doing that, you're gonna sound like Ted Lasso.
I don't even know. Is that what he does? I don't even know.
You challenged me, Jesse, by the way, to ask Promise about the story behind his name, and we had him on the show a few weeks ago. And my God, what a great story that was!
Right.
I mean, he's the media's dream, right? Out of all the players available to you, I mean, forget his goal scoring exploits. He scored again last weekend, right? Yeah. That guy gets it, right? I mean, what a personality.
He's definitely a personality. And he's fun to be around. You know, he's got positive energy. He doesn't get down on himself. He doesn't He doesn't get down if he doesn't play. Like we were considering him for the Honduras game, starting for the Honduras game. And he had we had obviously a good match against Honduras. And then the next day we had training and I said, do you know why I chose not to start you for the Honduras game? And he goes, yeah, because I had a shocking training session the day before. I said, I wasn't going to use that term, but yes, you are correct. You know, so he's also not dumb. He's a smart guy, you know, and he also is trying. I mean, I don't know if you saw his goal last week, but you know, it was a pressing goal. And so he's continuing to try to elevate his performances in the ways that I think are valuable for what we're doing with the national team. And ultimately what I think will be valuable for him to play at the highest level. So I like that about him. I like that about him. And yes, you're right. I like his personality as well.
Serie A kicks off this weekend. Got to mention, John, and Juventus. I saw him last Friday against Atalanta. He looks good in those stripes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's a big jump, though, still. Going from Lille to Juventus, on many levels, is a big jump. Are you confident that he'll just take it in hand and we'll have no problem?
So I live here on like a little mountain here in Italy, right? And then there's a little cafe that's about a 10-minute walk down the road. And I've been eating at that cafe or going there for coffee at least once a week since I've lived here for the last 2 years. I didn't know anyone knew what I did for a job. And then as soon as Jonathan was signed, I went down there to have a cup of coffee and I had like 4 70-year-old men going, how good is this guy? What is he going to do? Coach, tell us what's going on. And I was like, don't worry, you won't be disappointed. But what the reason I bring that story up is because every town in Italy has their local team. And then if you don't root for your local team, you root for Juventus. This is Italy's team, right? So it's a different kind of pressure and it's a different kind of setting than most places you would go in Europe. Jonathan will have a lot of expectations on him, but I don't worry about him at all. He's an easy guy. He's very calm with the way he deals with life. He's an incredibly talented player, a very intelligent player that can fit into any system, in any coach's system, the way they want to play. They can use him in multiple roles. He's going to be outstanding. I thought his goal was amazing. His performances overall have been very good. You know, I think they want him to be a little bit better with his back to goal. And just like almost like if they play him as a lone striker to be able to hold up balls at times. But overall, I think they got a player that they won't be disappointed in.
I'm curious about your workflow, Jesse, during the European season in particular, you know, where you're based. How many games a week are you able to watch? Do you have your video team sending you broken down highlights? How do you watch MLS? Do you record them and then watch them first thing in the morning? What is the Jesse Marsh workflow like?
I'll take you through my routine. I usually wake up, my dogs wake me up at about 7 a.m. and I have a big garden here and I'm in the garden from about 7 until about noon. And so it keeps me fit. It keeps me mentally sound. And then about that time, people from Canada start waking up and North America start waking up, or players are starting to be done with training here. And then I'm catching up with the little things here. And then, yeah, I'm watching matches. You know, it's the timing of what I have here, and I can have a couple computers, a TV, and I can be watching multiple matches here at night. And then MLS is happening in the middle of the night. Once in a while, if it's a really good match that I'm excited to watch, like when Vancouver was making the push in Champions League, I was up in the middle of the night watching them too. And then, yeah, we have a program where we kind of all own a few different players to be tracking and watching. And then they send me like little 10-minute recap videos from performances. And then we'll speak weekly about, you know, what it's looking like with different guys. And, you know, and then we'll kind of always be bumping guys up or down in the depth chart based on performances. So, yeah, it's in the current age of technology with football, it's pretty easy to follow players. Like if I compare it to 2010 when I was an assistant with the U.S. national team, we were just like, we had a board where minutes and goals and assists. And like if you could catch every other game, you were lucky. But now, you know, and then, you know, I'm usually tracking the guys who are either injured or not playing or struggling a little bit to like establish themselves more than the guys that are doing well. Because the guys that are doing well usually don't need to hear from me too much just to keep themselves going. And then when we get closer to camps, I usually speak to the leaders a little bit about, all right, this is what this camp is going to look like. And this is what the emphasis will be for this camp. And this is what we need to be thinking about. That's my day job. Then there's the other part, which is continuing to work on the infrastructure of the Canadian Soccer Association, my relationship with Casey, fundraising to make sure that we're on track to all the things that Kevin and I want to build when we're continuing to move forward, interviews for people or discussions with people about what's happening on the inside of what we're doing, influencers in the sport in the country, just trying to have my finger on the pulse of a lot of different things. So today I probably have 8 Zoom calls today, so Zoom is amazing, right? You can stay connected with so many people and so many different things. But I tell you, man, I really like this job. I really, really like this job because I said there haven't been a lot of jobs where you feel like you have like real support, where like you feel like you have real positive energy around everything that you do. And I really feel that here in Canada. And I'm thankful for the team. I'm thankful for Kevin Blue. I'm thankful for the organization. I'm thankful that most of the media has been incredibly supportive and forgiving of mistakes that I make and that we make and believes in this team. Right. Like I do. I believe in this team fully, like 100%. Like I made the right decision coming here. I believe in these guys. I'm so excited for next summer. I'm doing everything I can to give them the best opportunity possible to show everybody how good they are. So, yeah. Thank you, guys. It's been awesome.
I'm more interested in the garden right now.
I think it's this garden.
Don't be surprised. Jimmy's in your garden in the morning.
I have almost 200 olive trees. So I make olive oil every fall. I brought some to the players last fall, and I brought. I just gave them like little bits. But now we have a little. We have a few more trees. So yeah. And you. By the way, you're all welcome to come visit. Actually, Rick Westhead is coming to visit me. After this window. So the coaching staff is coming here a few days before. So we're going to spend some time here and then do our final preparation. And if you saw where I live here in Tuscany, it's we found a good little spot. So
I bet the staff love that. Yeah. The new gaffer lives in Italy for team meetings. Yeah. That's brilliant. Do we have any travel budget?
No, but I guess you're all invited out to Pickering, right, Charm? So we get
exactly.
Place? Great.
Yeah, that's about as exciting as it gets out here, unfortunately. You wouldn't even visit me, guys. So, hey, what are you talking about? Jesse, listen, as always, a pleasure. Thanks so much for your candor. And, good luck in this next window. We look forward to see who's being called up, maybe some fresh faces as well. And we'll chat with you real soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
That is Jesse Marsh, Canada's men's head coach. MLS head coach. We have to throw that in there still, don't we?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, get it right. Get it right.
Get some love to the MLS teams there. Thanks a lot, mate.
All right, see you guys.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Good stuff.
Great stuff, mate. That was great. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Good to see everybody. Talk to you soon.
Have a great rest of the day.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great.
That was good.